turn with me to the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. Chapter 28. I'll read the whole chapter. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and beheld him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Well, there's a great change from the man of sorrows before the crucifixion to the Lord of all. Great and glorious change has taken place. Before the crucifixion, He was a man of sorrows, despised and rejected of men, and acquainted with grief. But now, He's the Lord of all. The babe of Bethlehem's manger is the Lord of all. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes here this morning about these, what's said in these last three verses, verses 18, 19, and 20. In the 18th verse, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He makes this statement. This is His claim, a claim of the Lord Jesus Christ. He claims to have all power in heaven. Now, all power was given unto Him by God the Father as a consequence or as a result of His death, the result of His accomplishment. Many times I've reminded you that our Lord was sent by God to accomplish salvation for His people, to accomplish redemption for His people. I've told you many times that He's the messenger of the covenant, that God had made a covenant, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, before worlds was. God had made a covenant, a contract, and there was perfect unity and agreement in the covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most Highest, the Son of God, the darling of God's bosom, agreed to fulfill all the stipulations of that covenant. All men had sinned, but God the Father, in His infinite wisdom and His great love, chose out of fallen humanity, chose out from Adam's fallen race a certain number that no man can number out of every tribe and kindred on the face of the earth. Chose out unto Himself a people for Himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ agreed to fulfill all the demands made of that covenant in reference to the people that God gave Him. He said He'd fulfill all the requirements. He'd stand for them. And He'd accomplish whatever God required in order that these people that He had chosen might be the elect of God or the saved of God. Whatever God required out of them, the Lord Jesus said, "I'll stand for them. I'll fulfill all your requirements in their behalf. I'll be their Savior. I'll be their substitute." So He's the messenger of the covenant. He came as their substitute and representative, their Savior, and completely fulfilled all the requirements, accomplished all that was demanded of God of them. He did it in their place as a man. So now, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he tells his disciples, he tells them that all power is given unto me. All power has been given by God the Father unto me. All power as the result of consequences of my death. Remember, he says there that God hath highly exalted him, given him a name above every name in heaven and earth, exalted the Son of God as the consequence of his accomplishment, what he accomplished on behalf of the people that the Father hath chosen unto himself. Now, what does that mean, all power? What does that mean, really? All power hath been given unto me in heaven. Well, I don't think that the human mind is capable of conceiving the fullness of the meaning of that expression. We must be akin to the prophets who said aforetime, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Such knowledge is too high for me. I think what this means when it says all power, it means the power of self-existence. All power is given unto me. The power of self-existence, the power of creation, the power of sustaining that which is made, the power of creating, the power of destroying, the power of opening, and the power of shutting, the power of overthrowing, and the power of killing, and the power of making alive. He said, all power is given unto me. All power to pardon. All power to forgive. All power to condemn. All power to give, and all power to withhold, and all power to decree, and all power to fulfill. All this, whatever it means, and I certainly do not know all that it means, but what I've said thus far is in the boundary of the meaning of all power. Whatever it means, all power in heaven is given to him. The hands that were nailed to the tree now holds the power, all power that's in heaven, been turned over to the Lord Jesus Christ. The power to decree, the power to fulfill, the power to pardon, the power to condemn. I cannot describe it. It cannot be described in its fullness by the sons of fallen Adam. We might as well try to describe infinity as to try to tell out all that is in the expression, all power. Whatever it is, though I insist, it's in his hands, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. All power, he said, in heaven. That means the power of Jehovah God, the Father. All power in heaven, He has the power of God Himself. He is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's equal with God. He's not God the Father. There's God the Father, and there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And we do not call Him Father. We call the God of heaven and earth our Father. When you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." The Lord Jesus Christ is not God the Father. He's God the Son. But He's equal with God. And now it says here that He has all power in heaven, which means He has the power of God the Father Himself. All power. Listen. It means whatever Jehovah God the Father can do, the Lord Jesus Christ can do. He has that power. If it were His will, if it were the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, He could speak another world into existence. He has that power. All that power has been given to Him, has been turned over to Him, has been placed in His hands. He holds the reins of all created forces, and He impels them or restrains them according to His good pleasure, according to His will. That's all involved in this expression, "All power is given to me." He who was once despised and rejected of men, man acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows, he now has all power in heaven. And that relates to the providential skill and might with which God rules in the entirety of the universe. He who was despised and rejected of men now commands the homage of heaven. That means the angels and the seraphims and the cherubims. That means that they wait on the wing to do His bidding as He wills, as He wills, who has all power. They wait to do the will of Him. That is, the armies of heaven. They stand sitting on ready to do the will of Him whom God hath raised from the dead and hath given Him all power over everything in this universe. He has it. All power must include the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that convinces men of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that leads them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces, convicts, and brings men to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His business. But the Bible teaches here that He has the power of the Holy Spirit. Since He's been given all power in heaven, He has the power of God the Father, and He has the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes forth among the sons of men according to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, and quickens whom He wills. He has this power of the Spirit of God to convince and to convict. He has all the power of the Trinity, the power of the Father, the power of the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's exalted by God above all principalities and all power and all might and all dominion. And every name that is named in this world or in the world to come, He has dominion and dignity and power over all. There's no other name given among men under heaven that has the power and the might that this man has, who once was described as a man of sorrows, despised and acquainted with grief. He also claims here not only to have all power in heaven, but He claims to have all power in earth. All power in heaven, He says, is mine. The power of destroying. God destroyed two cities in the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Destroyed every single solitary soul in that city. He has that power. God rained fire and brimstone down upon that city, and there was nothing left of those companion cities except ash. Nothing left. God had that power. Our Lord Jesus Christ has that power. All power has been given to Him. The power in Noah's day that caused the rains, the heavens to open up, and the earth beneath the heavens to open up, and to bring such an enormity of water to fall from the heavens, to come up from underneath, to flood the highest mountain, to cover the face of the earth, to destroy everything that lived and moved and breathed. He has that power. Not only the power of heaven, but all power in earth, our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Naaman came to the king of Israel and asked that his friend might be healed of leprosy? The king of Israel became indignant and immediately said, "Am I God who can kill and make alive?" His problem was he didn't have no power. But our Lord Jesus Christ has power. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. He has power over the wind, and He has power over the waves. He came to that little boat walking on the water. He was lying asleep in the hinder part of that little boat, and the wind and the waves began to rage. And they woke Him up and they said, "Master, carest not thou that we perish?" And He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And He looked at the wind and he spoke to the wind and the waves, and everything subsided. He has that power. That power. That's Him whom we worship. He's our God. That's what motivated us to come out here on this Sunday morning in the ice and the snow, to brave our way to this building, that we might hear of Him and worship Him who has all power, the power to destroy, the power to kill, the power to make alive. We worship Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, His power is not limited. There's nothing in heaven or in earth that has the power to limit Him in anything. Nothing in the universe can limit His power, can constrain Him, can thwart Him from doing as He pleases. He has power over the minds of men, both good and bad. Power over their minds to make them do His will. He has power over, and that was seen in our conversion, when we were converted to God. We couldn't believe, but He made us to believe. He caused us to believe. He made us willing to believe when we were dead men. Oh, His power extends over the minds of men, the wicked and the good. He calleth whomsoever He pleases into the fellowship of Himself. He has that power. He worketh in them all the good pleasure of His will. Power, power. He has the keys of the kingdom, and He has the keys of every human heart, and He opens, and no man can shut. That's what power He has. Well, it's ours to tell out this story. It's ours to tell out this gospel of His power, what He is willing to do and what He can do. We tell the gospel and preach the gospel, and we believe that there is no man on the face of the earth, no man, makes no difference from what tribe or kindred or tongue He comes from. We don't believe that there's any man beyond the saving power of this man that has all power in heaven and earth. Oh, it so thrills my heart and amazes me at what this man can do. He can do anything and everything. Nothing too hard for God, our God. No man's beyond the realm of mercy with this God. You remember He converted the Pharisees as well as the publicans. Paul was a Pharisee, and Paul was not looking for God. Paul was on his way to kill those, or to put those in jail, who were the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him who has all power overpowered Paul. Paul, unhorsed him, and struck him blind. And Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And Paul immediately replied, "What will you have me to do?" And he said, "Preach the gospel. Tell of the power of this man, Christ Jesus." No man in any conceivable position of sin may stand beyond the reach of his power. A man might be on the very verge, on the very threshold, on the very brink of hell, but he's not beyond the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth, then this morning, right now, he could, if it pleased him, if it was his will, he could save every person under the sound of my voice. He could do it. He has all power. Overcome. He has the power of God the Father. He has the power of God the Holy Spirit. He could convince and convict and persuade every person that sits here this morning to do his will if it so pleased him. He has that power. And it's not just limited to this small group that we have. He could, if he would, save every soul at this minute, at this second, in Marion County. There's 60,000 people in Marion County, and at the will of him, he could save every one of them. And it's not just restricted to Marion County or to this place or to the state of West Virginia. He could do it to every single solitary person alive or dead in the United States of America. He could save them. He has that power. He could save everybody in this universe, every nation, every tribe and every tongue, from the remotest corners of China to the barren flats of Russia. If he would, he could convert and pardon and save everybody on this planet. All power, that's what he's got. He has that as the consequence of what he accomplished on the tree. God give him all power. I give you all power in heaven and in earth. It's yours. It's in your hands. We're going to talk for just a minute here on how he displays that power. How he displays it. Listen, our bodies may be rotting in the ground when he comes again. In all probability, all of us will be dead before he comes again. It's not to say I don't think he's coming tomorrow. He can come today. I don't know when he's coming, but he's going to come. All of us may be dead when he comes. He who has all power is going to come to us. Where I am, there you might be also. Even if your bodies lie rotten in the grave, and we're going to die, and we may be in the grave, in the ground, 6 feet under the ground, the casket may have collapsed in on our bones and our dust. there may not be anything left in these rotting bodies when He comes. But when He comes, we'll understand then somewhat of His power. Because He'll take that which is nothing, and He'll make it to rise again. Like Ezekiel. Ezekiel, He said, look over there at that field of those dead bones. Look at them. There wasn't even joined together. Bone here and a bone there. A field full of dry bones. And He told Ezekiel, He said, speak to the bones that they might live. We'll experience that one day. His power. His power that will come to these rotten bodies. And say, arise! Or once they'll arise, they'll come together. Flesh and muscle and bone. We'll rise from that grave. We'll know then that all power is His. At the blast of the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those here and those in other places that have heard His command to believe and to trust in Him will tremble, because they'll take on a new body too. But they'll tremble, but we'll rejoice. Oh, listen. A man may resist Him here. Man can do that. Resisting. And the majority of the world at any given time is in out and out resistance and rebellion against Him who has all power, who bids all men to come, who bids men to come to Him and find in Him life and life eternal. But they resist. They won't then. They oppose Him here, but we'll be unable to oppose Him there. We'll have to stand in judgment and be judged for their rebellion. Now, brethren, let me say this, and I'll quit. This is His usual way of displaying this power. He might have said to His disciples here, these 11 of them, He came, remember, He told them, He said, go tell My brethren. In verse 10, He said unto the women, go tell My brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see Me. Now, in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, these 11 disciples, and He said, this all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. He might have said, instead of saying, go ye therefore, He might have said, go ye therefore, take your swords from their sheath. And these Jews that crucified Me, kill every one of them. He might have said, all of My enemies that are alive right now, take your swords and kill them. Spill their blood. Do them in. Oh, my soul. He didn't say that. He didn't say take vengeance on them. But you know what He said? He said, go ye first unto Jerusalem. preach the gospel to those Jews that crucified me. Go, he said, this is the way he displays his power, by teaching and preaching. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Listen. He said, teaching and preaching. That's the way that we'll display this power. They say today, the way we, the means that we use to bring about men into the kingdom of God is we've got to display our talents. We've got to bring in men and women who are talented in the art of music to sing the hymns and the songs. We've got to dress our people in vivid colors and various robes and gowns and things of that nature, and create a atmosphere, a spiritual and religious atmosphere, and do our best to persuade people to come. Oh, no. Concerts. I seen where in the paper where a church had advertised in the Fairmont paper and the Morgantown paper. Didn't say anything about the gospel at all, but said we're having a concert December the 22nd. So and so's going to be here in concert. We want everyone to come. The idea is that we'll have such a display of talent here that you'll be bound to be changed or converted. That's not the way it is. He says the usual way to display His power is the preaching of the gospel to every creature. That's how we display the power of God, by preaching the gospel, not by having contests, not by having human talent displayed in their gifts of magic or drawing pictures or flannel graphs or recitation. Like the guy that told me in the funeral home one day, he said, you and I need to get together. And I said, well, how's that? He said, we need to rent the armory over there. Rent the armory. Holds 4,000 or 5,000 people. We need to rent that arm. He's talking in big things. He was way beyond me, talking about renting the armory and wanting me to go in with him as a collaborator in some sort of a scheme to cause men to turn to Christ. And he said, you know what? He said, I can recite, I don't know how many books of the Bible, maybe it was the whole New Testament. I have learned the New Testament. I can recite them verbatim without missing a word. Every verse, every word in the New Testament. And he said, you and I rent that armory. And he said, I'll display my knowledge and my talent. That's not the way. He may have good intentions, I don't know, but that ain't the way. The way to display the power of God is to preach the gospel. Go, he said, ye therefore, into all nations. Go, that's the reason why Walter Gruber and his son Cody and their families is down in Mexico. They're not down there putting on a show. They're preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why Bill Clark is over in Africa two or three times every year, over in Portugal, in France. That's the reason why we support Bill and Cody and his daddy and their families and the Russian interpreter and translator. That's the reason why we send money to them, because this is the way of displaying the power of God Almighty in Christ Jesus, the preaching of the gospel. And tell men that He has the power to make dead men live. Listen. We preach the gospel. We preach to dead sinners. Dead in trespasses and in sins. I've been preaching these many years. And every Sunday, and every time I preach to dead sinners. Dead sinners that can't respond, and I can't make them respond. I can't make a man believe. I can't persuade him to believe. I can't convince him under no circumstance to believe. If I had the abilities and the talents of the greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, I couldn't persuade one dead sinner to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm commanded to go. He commands me to go, and He commands you to go and display His power in the preaching of the gospel. Although they're all dead in trespasses and in sin, and they can't hear, and they won't hear, and you can't make them to hear, but yet He commands us to go. He has that power. The power's in Him to make men believe. I believe this morning because He made me to believe. He didn't do it against my will. He made me willing. Once He worked the work in me, I wanted to believe in the worst way. Power's in Him. No power in the sinner to believe, and no power in the preacher to make him believe. No power to lead a man to repent, but it's in Him, in whom is all power. If He told me this morning, if He told me, not if you told me or someone else told me, but if He told me to go up there on the hill above Bragville where the graveyard is, where some of my own flesh and blood is buried, if He told me to go up there to the graveyard and to bid the dead to rise again, if He told me that, I would do that with as much pleasure as I now preach the gospel to this congregation. I regard all men to be dead in sin, and yet I tell them to live simply because He commanded me to do it. Ezekiel had to cry, ye dead bones live. See what I'm talking about? All power's in Him, in heaven and in earth. All power. Power to overcome, power to overwhelm, power to slay, power to make alive. Power to withstand that and withhold that which is already made. Power to sustain. Power, power,
power to make the worst sinner outside of hell willing to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Usually his way to display it is to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. It's all right. Let me read one other verse and I'll quit. Over here in the first chapter of the book of Romans. Listen to what it says. Paul here said, so first he said, I'm a debtor, a debtor to God. I owe everything to Him. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both the wise and the unwise. I'm a debtor. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now listen, why, Paul? Why, Paul? For it, the gospel is it. For it is the power. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. I call upon you this morning to believe the gospel and trust Him. Let's stand.